That's because we show up for church. More people are in church. I had a privilege of traveling so much in missions, but even before that, I realized that around the world, in every different time zone we go through today, God's people are gathering together to worship Him and pray and preach the Word of God. Visitors are coming to church. People are hearing the Word of God. They're getting convicted. They're trusting Christ as their Savior. So I was thinking about even Moscow this morning, 8 hours earlier than what we're starting. People have already gathered together, preaching the Word, praising God. Folks are getting saved. And then this afternoon, all the way to California, if you go through every time zone, there's believers that are worshiping. And so Sunday's a great day. All around the world, for 24 hours, God's people are gathering together, reading the Word of God, preaching the Word of God, praying. Folks are coming to Christ. What a great day. Maybe if you're here today and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, today would be the day that you do that. Maybe today you've just kind of been holding back on God. Today might be the day you say, you know, it's a glorious day. It's well with my soul, but I want it even better because I want to commit my life with my whole heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Our text this morning will come 2 Samuel chapter 23, verses 8 through 17. The title of the message is, What About Our Captain? What About Our Captain? If you'll take the Word of God, 2 Samuel 23, and stand, and as I read the Word of God, honor the reading. These are the names of the mighty men whom David had: Joseph-Basabeth, the Tachmonite, chief among the captains. He was called Adino the Esnite because he had killed 800 men at one time. And after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo the Ahohite, one of the three mighty men with David when they defiled the Philistines who were gathered there for battle, and the men of Israel had retreated. He arose and attacked the Philistines until his hand was weary and his hand stuck to the sword. The Lord wrought a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to plunder. And after him was Shammai, the son of Agee the Hararite. The Philistines had gathered together into a troop where there was a piece of ground full of lentils. So the people fled from the Philistines. But he stationed himself in the middle of the field, defended it, and killed the Philistines. So the Lord brought a great victory. Then three of the 30 chief men went down at harvest time and came to David at the cave of Adullam. And the troop of the Philistines encamped in the valley of Rephaim. David was then in the stronghold, and the garrison of the Philistines was then in Bethlehem. And David said with longing, Oh, that someone would give me a drink of water from the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate. So the three mighty men broke through the camp of the Philistines, drew water from the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate, and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink it, but poured it out unto the Lord. And he said, Far be it from me, O Lord, that I should do this. Is this not the blood of the men who went in jeopardy of their lives? Therefore he would not drink it. These things were done by the three mighty men. Father, thank you today, Lord, as we've already gathered and sung praises to you, and Lord, great messages through the songs. We lift our hearts in praise and adoration to you. And now, Lord, we gather around your word, your inspired, infallible, holy word. Lord, I pray now that we would hear from the Word of God what you would have to say to us. I pray, Lord, our hearts would be open to receive this message today. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. You know, the Bible is filled with just tremendous stories. And when I say stories, I don't mean they're fables, but they're true. It's about men's life. It's like about Jonah. You know, we read about Jonah and the things that Jonah went through. We read about baby Moses, or Moses turning aside to look at the burning bush, or the plagues in Egypt. So many great stories throughout the Bible. Some sad, some scary, some just make us stand in awe as we think about those stories. What every preacher loves about Elijah being able to pray fire down from heaven and destroy the altar. We think about Peter walking on the water, or all the miracles that Jesus did in the Bible. They're all true stories, true happenings that Jesus or the Word of God records for us. Now, we live in a day of technology, and I've said before, I love technology. I love PowerPoints. I love all those kind of things. I don't go wild with them, but I like them. I love using technology in the church. But even those things are so great, we didn't have technology in the early days of the Bible. And so God did something very miraculously. He gave us these stories. And these stories paint a picture in our minds. When I talk about David and Goliath, don't you see that big old giant? Don't you see little David with the slingshot? I mean, immediately some picture that you have in your mind comes into play. And so God was able to take these stories and just paint these pictures in our minds to let us see truths. And so there's great, great stories in the Word of God. Now, the backdrop of what we're reading here is the Philistines had come into this valley of Rephaim. It was a valley full of wheat and grains, barley, and Bethlehem was there. Now, Bethlehem is called the house of bread, and so we got all these grains around there, and there's Bethlehem. But it was a stronghold of the Philistines. They brought a garrison in there, and they had taken over the place. And actually, they had taken it away from the Israelites. And but David was also in the area. But David was held up in a cave. And David held up in a cave, and he had 37 mighty men of valor. In verses 8 through 39, it talks about all those men. Interesting thing, in verse 39, the very last one it mentions was Uriah. Remember, that's another story, but Uriah was married to Bathsheba. So Uriah was one of David's 37 mighty men. But they're held up in this stronghold, David is and his men. Now, David has been anointed king of Israel. And David also is the captain of these mighty men. Now, these men were just not any old soldiers. Today, we would call them like special forces. We would call them like Navy SEALs. You remember the story of pictures about Rambo. I mean, he was a fighting, fierce fighting guy. So these are Bible Rambos. These guys were tough. I mean, nothing held them back. They were afraid of nothing. And verses 8 through 39 talks about all these men. But verses 8 through 11 talks about three of these men in particularly. First of all, they had a definite commitment to their captain. A definite commitment. Now, years ago, it's been a long time, when I was a teenager, I went down to Florida to visit one of my cousins. He was a year younger than I am. And we went down near Orlando, and of course, that was a big city. I was from South Georgia. We didn't have big schools. We got down there, and they had huge schools. And I had been there about 30 minutes, and my cousin says, "Come on, let's go. We've got to do something." Now, my cousin was kind of wild in those days. He still is today, unfortunately. But we took off, and we went to this place, and there was this huge gathering in this parking lot. There was hundreds of teenagers. Some of them looked like men. They were so big. Part of them was football players. And as we got there, I found out that they were about to have a big fight. Now, here I am. I don't know a single soul except my cousin. I'm wanting to get out of there, and he's crazy enough. "No, let's stay. Let's see the fight." So we're standing there, and it spread it out kind of like an aisle like this. You got hundreds of kids on this side, hundreds on this side. And they're going back and forth. I don't know what the problem was, but they were upset with each other. And so finally, it was kind of like David and Goliath. One on each side decided to step out and represent their side. And all these guys were edging them on, "You step out." And I heard some of them say, "You go ahead and hit him, and then we'll help you. We'll come into the fight with you." And so this guy steps up, and he pops the other guy in the mouth. Guy falls back. But when he comes back at him, about five or six of his buddies come with him. But nobody comes with the other guy. And they jump on him. And I mean, they're about to beat him to death. He finally gets loose, and there's a telephone booth not too far, and he runs and tries to get in there to get away. They drag him out. I thought, they're going to kill this guy. None of his folks stood up with him. In other words, they did not have a definite commitment to stand with him. That's not so with David. David had 37 of these warriors. They were mighty men of valor, the Bible calls them, and they were willing to stand. They had a definite commitment to their captain. You could say it another way. They had love without limit. They did not put any limit on what they would do for their captain, David. What about our captain? The book of Hebrews, Hebrews 10:2 says, "Jesus is the captain of our salvation." Do we have a definite commitment this morning to serve the Lord Jesus Christ? You say, "Well, I'm saved. I've been a member of a long time." That's not what I'm asking. We can be saved and sit on the pew. We can be saved and not do anything for the Lord Jesus Christ. We can be saved and never take a stand for Jesus. We can be saved and never witness for Jesus. Do you have a definite commitment, a love, a definite commitment, a love without limit for the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, David's men had been through the fire. And they had fought. But Jesus, as I said, is the captain of our salvation. He's far, far above David. In fact, the book of Hebrews talks about men in the Bible that are famous. And men in the Bible that the Israelites really looked up to them. One of them would be, of course, Moses. They looked up at Moses. And they esteemed Moses and Aaron, his brother. And oftentimes they worshiped angels. And the book of Hebrews comes and says, Jesus is greater than angels. Jesus is greater than Moses. Jesus is greater than Aaron. Jesus is greater than Melchizedek. He was a priest that had no beginning and no end. Nobody knew where he came from. But they esteemed him highly. And the Bible says Jesus is better than all of those. Do you have a definite commitment this morning to follow the Lord Jesus Christ? I remember many, many years ago when I was pastoring up in Pennsylvania. I'm from Georgia originally, but I was up there pastoring. And our son came into my office one morning. He was six, stayed home from school. And he was at the house with me. And he began to ask me questions about hell. And all of a sudden I realized that God was working on his heart and his soul. And I finally said, Byron, are you afraid you're going to die and go to hell? He said, yes, sir, I am. And so I led him to Christ. And you could tell there was a tremendous change. He was 6 years old, but you could see a change in him. Now, where I pastored was the inner city church. We lived next to the parsonage. The church was on the corner. Across, in front of it, across the street, was a fraternity house for Penn State. Now, and it was full of college boys. And so you imagine what went on there. There'd be times they'd be sitting out on the porch drinking beer and those kind of things. But when Byron got saved, Byron had a big wheel. You remember the big wheels? And he'd ride up and down in front of the church, in front of the pastors, and his favorite song was, I've decided to follow Jesus, no turning back, no turning back. And he would run up and down in front of those college kids, not intimidated whatsoever, and he'd sing that song to the top of his voice. I've decided to follow Jesus, no turning back, no turning back. In fact, Byron would see some of those college kids, and he'd say, Dad, let's go witness to them. I mean, he almost intimidated me. Here's a six-year-old kid, I'm a preacher, but he was bold, ready to go out. He's decided to follow Jesus, he was not going to turn back. Now, the Bible picks out three of these men that really shines a light on them. The first one is verse 8, is Adino. Adino's name means spear or ornament. He was like an ornament until David, his king, his captain, and he loved David. And the Bible says that this man killed 800 Philistines in one day. I'm telling you, he was a Bible Rambo. I mean, this guy was tough. He didn't back up for anything. When David said he's got 37 mighty men, he had 37 mighty men. I'll ask you this morning, do we have a definite commitment to our captain? Do we have a commitment for faithfulness? So many people today are slacking off on church. The Bible says in Hebrews 10:25, as we see the day approaching, so much the more we ought to be gathering together, encouraging each other, fellowshipping together. And then in verses 9 and 10, we have Eleazar. Eleazar's name means God is hope. In fact, he went out, and the Bible says he stood with David, him and three other men, and they fought against the Philistines and defeated them. And he fought so much that his hand went into muscle spasms. And he couldn't even turn the sword loose. He would not back up. He would not quit. He would not give up. His hand cleaved to the sword, and they had to pry his fingers off from the sword. He had a definite commitment to his captain. He would not back up. And then in verse 11, we see Shammah. His name means lost. Now, the Bible tells us that the Philistines would come in, and not only did they take over the grain, but the Israelites had planted, we call it a pea patch. They call it lentils, but it's a big pea patch. And the Philistines would come in and just steal all the peas, all the grain, and they just take it away from the people who grew it. And so one day Shammah decided it's not going to happen anymore. So the Bible says he went and stood in the midst of that pea patch and defended the pea patch and drove the Philistines away from the pea patch. So the field was taken over by the Philistines, but he stood strong to it. He was ready to lose his life for his captain's sake. He had a definite commitment to his captain. He wanted to regain that which was lost. What have we lost this morning? Maybe because we haven't really got a definite commitment with the Lord Jesus Christ. What have we given up because we've kind of slacked up and edged back and really not committed like we ought to for the Lord Jesus Christ? I had a pastor friend years ago that lived in Macon, Georgia. He's with the Lord now. But he told me a story that happened to him when I first met him. He was working with a missionary down in the central parts of Mexico. And it was up in the mountains. And he worked with this missionary, and they planted a church there. And they had a Baptist pastor, had a small Baptist church. And so he went down to visit with the missionary, visit with the small Baptist church. And when they arrived, they went up into the mountains where this village was so they could see what was going on. Well, just about the time they got there, a little while before they got there, somebody had went into the local Catholic church and destroyed the idols, messed up the church. Well, when you get away from the big cities and you get in these remote areas, these priests have tremendous power over the people. And the priest was irate. And, of course, he didn't like the Baptists anyway, and he began to blame the Baptists for what happened inside their church building. And so the villagers got real upset, and he got them all stirred up. And so they got their machetes, they got their pitchforks and hoes, and they gathered around these three men, this Baptist pastor, this local pastor, the pastor from Macon, and the missionary. And Brother Boker said, he said, "I felt sure we were going to die." Said the whole crowd, like the whole village came out and just surrounded us. There was no way of escape. And said all of a sudden, somebody began to make their way through the crowd. As they edged through the crowd, they began to form a circle around the three of them. And he said it was the local people of that local Baptist church that they had planted. And those people gathered around them and stood and would not let anybody touch these three men. And they stood there for hours upon hours till they finally were able to convince the people that they did not do anything to that church. They were willing to give their life. They had a definite commitment to that local church and to the Lord Jesus Christ. They were going to regain something before it was lost. Do we have a definite commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ? Secondly, do we have dedication without question? You might say love without question, dedication without question. You know, in the military, they train people to obey without question. If you've been in the military, you know they put you through all this stuff, and they'll even humiliate you and do whatever they've got to do. When they give you a command, you don't back up. They can't have soldiers backing up when they get a command. And so they have a definite commitment. Whatever the commandment they get, they're willing to do it. And so do we have a definite commitment this morning to the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, in verses 15 through 17, it tells a story. It tells a story about David. As I said, David is in this cave, and he's been anointed king. He's also captain of these men. The backdrop, as I said, is the Philistines had taken over Bethlehem. They'd taken over the valley where all the grain was. They really had it in a stronghold. In fact, this valley of the Philistines was also called the Valley of the Giants. You remember when David and Goliath fought, Goliath was not the only giant in the Philistine army. He had other brothers that were giants. There were other big, huge men in the Philistine army. They were a fierce army. And so this army now has a garrison over Bethlehem, and they've got it in control. Now, David is held up in a cave because he's fleeing from King Saul. He's been anointed king, but yet he hadn't been made king yet. He's captain of these men, and they're kind of hiding out, waiting to the time that David can actually become king over Israel. But it's harvest time. I don't know if you ever grew up on a farm. I did. And we went through the harvest season. And the harvest season, you'd get out, and sometimes you see even the sun in the afternoon when it's harvest season, it kind of gets a orangish, reddish color because of all the stuff that comes up in the air. And so it's harvest time. It's hot. It's dry. There's stuff in the air. If you've ever done any kind of farming, it gets down your neck, it gets up your nostrils, it just gets all over you. It's a miserable time when it's hot and dry and all this stuff going on. David doesn't have air conditioning. It's before those days. So David steps out of the cave. It's hot. It's dry. All this stuff's going on. He's thirsty. And David just, He just thinks out loud. He didn't even give a commandment. He just said, my goodness, I'd love to have a drink of water from that well down near the gates of Bethlehem. You ever grew up on a home place where you had great water? I remember as a teenager when we lived in the city and Dad decided he wanted to go back to the farm. And you think you want to go back to the farm where you got time to hunt and fish. Well, when you do that, you don't have time to do that anymore because you have to work. But on the farm, we had this little shallow well, and it was terrible. So Dad had this 300-foot deep well dug. Where we lived, you had to dig really, really deep to get in the good water. But the thing about a 300-foot deep well, the water is cool year-round. Summertime, I mean, it's just wonderful. It's refreshing. I can still remember that refreshing water coming out of that well. I don't know if David as a teenager had drank out of that well and remembered how good it was, or he was just hot and tired and knew that that well was there. But he doesn't give a commandment. He just thinks out loud. He said, to paraphrase, good night alive, I'd like to have a drink of water from that well. It's so hot and I'm so thirsty. And those three men looked at him. They looked at each other. And they said, let's go. And they took off. And they went through that valley of grain where the Philistine army was. And they fought their way through the Philistine army. And they fought their way all the way up to the gates of Bethlehem. And they fought their way up to where that well of water was. And they got some of that water. And then they had to fight their way all the way back to bring it to David, their captain, whom they love without limit and without question. And they brought it to David and they presented it to the captain, to their captain, whom they loved. And David wouldn't drink it. He said, these men, by peril of their life, and like with blood, they went after this water and got this water for their captain, for him. And David was so overwhelmed about it, he poured it out like a drink offering unto the Lord and to honor those men. David did not give a commandment. He just thought out loud. They had dedication without question or love without limit. And lastly, had devotion unto death. In verse 17, they had devotion unto death. They were willing to die just to please their captain. People are willing to die today for a lot of different reasons. You go all the way back to World War II, you had kamikaze pilots, and these pilots would get in planes, and it was a one-way trip, and they would fly into our ships. They were willing to die for their country, Japan. Or you take guys like Jim Jones that talked over 600 people drinking that Kool-Aid. They were willing to die for somebody. Or even today, you got Al-Qaeda or the Taliban. And people are willing to blow themselves up for what they believe in. They're willing to die. But, you know, they've got the right motive, but they're doing it for the wrong reason and the wrong purpose and the wrong person. What about our captain? Do we have a definite commitment to our captain, the Lord Jesus Christ? Do we have a dedication without question? Do we have devotion even unto death? When I say unto death, I'm talking about one of the hardest things we'll ever do is die to self. When you come to a place and you really want to give yourself up and give yourself to Jesus, it's difficult because we're prideful and we want to be in control and we really don't want to turn things over to the Lord Jesus Christ. But do we have a definite commitment to do that for the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, David never died for his men, but Jesus died for us. Their captain never died for them, but the captain of our salvation died for us and paid the price for us and bought our eternity through the Lord Jesus Christ and his commitment to us. David was a great man, but David will bow at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Angels are great beings, but they will bow at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, the captain of our salvation, the captain of our souls. Aaron and Moses were great men of God, but they will bow at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is the captain of our salvation. Are you willing to bow down at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you willing to say, I've got love without limit? What limits are you putting today on Jesus? What is God speaking to your heart and you say, Lord, I'll serve you, but. Lord, I'll do that, but. Lord, I'll do that, if. What limits are you putting on the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you have a love without limit? Do you have a love without question? Do you have a love even unto death where you You die to self to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's bow for prayer. With our heads bowed this morning and our eyes closed, what's Jesus saying to your heart today? Maybe you visit here today and Jesus is saying it's time for you to just give up yourself and trust me and come and let me save your soul and commit to me. Maybe as a Christian, God's saying, you know, it's time to really get real. We can be a Christian, but are you really sold out for the Lord Jesus Christ? It's time to commit your life to him. It's time to be faithful. You know, if David had have just thought out loud and said, men, you need to be in church regular, they'd have done it. If David had just thought out loud, not even a commandment, that says, men, you need to tithe to support the church, they would have done it. They wouldn't have questioned it. They wouldn't have backed off on him. If David had said, men, you need to serve in the church and be faithful to the Lord Jesus, they would have done it. What is he saying to you? Do you have love without limit this morning? Do you have love without question? Do you have love even unto death, where we just present our bodies a living sacrifice to the Lord Jesus Christ? Father, I pray now, speak to our heart as only the Holy Spirit of God can do at this time. Lord, we've looked into your word. We've looked at these faithful men. We've looked at this unbelievable dedication they had to David. Lord, how much more our dedication ought to be to you. Father, I pray this morning if there's someone here that's never, ever trusted Jesus as their Savior, that they might say today, today's the day I'll commit my life to Jesus. Today's the day I'll walk the aisle and say, yes, I want to trust Christ as my Savior. Are we as a body of believers? Lord, we've been holding back certain areas in our life that only you know. Today's the day we'll say, if those men commit to an earthly captain, so much the more we'll commit to our eternal captain, the Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I ask you to stand as we sing, Just As I Am.